We're in John 14, our text is the words of verse 2, the words of the Lord Jesus himself. Remember that the shadow of the cross is already hanging over the Saviour. This is one of the final addresses he gave to his disciples before his crucifixion. And he says in that second verse, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." I want us to think of those final words, the words of Christ. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." There's no gospel hymn, we sang it one night before in these meetings. Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod? I want to ask you that tonight, men and women. We're going to think a little about heaven tonight. And I want to ask you, shall we gather? Will you gather with us? There are many in this meeting tonight that are in Christ. They know the Saviour. They're going to be in heaven for all eternity. And I want to ask, will you be there? Will you be amongst us? Will you gather with us on that great day when we stand before God? Billy Bray, the Cornish miner, he lived a wild life before he was converted. In fact, he was a drunkard. He used to spend most of the money that he earned, left his family in great difficulty. His conversion, he summed it up. He said, "I used to be a madman, or they thought I was a madman, and then I became a glad man." He was full of the joy of the Lord. One of the things that the Lord used to bring Billy Bray to Christ was a book of John Bunyan's. Now remember that John Bunyan wrote many books. He's best known, of course, for his Pilgrim's Progress, but there are many other very profitable volumes that came from his pen. The book that came into the hands of Billy Bray that God used was a book called Visions of Heaven and Hell. They were discourses, expositions of scriptural passages on eternity, the two destinations in eternity, visions of heaven and hell. And men and women, what I want you to do tonight in this meeting is to get a vision of heaven. I want you to get a view. I want you to get a little glimpse. I want you to get a little picture in your heart and in your mind of that glorious place. I want for a few minutes, it's good to be here in God's house, good to come aside from all the activities of home and the business. And while we're gathered here, I want you to turn your eyes away from the things of this world. Isn't it true, men and women, we can get so caught up with life, we can get so caught up with this world that we forget about the next world. I want you to turn your eyes away from earth, and I want you to think about heaven. I want you to get your thoughts tonight focused on the next world. I want you to see, men and women, that you don't have to perish. If you're without Christ, can we impress that upon your heart tonight? You don't have to perish. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be lost for all eternity. There is a place called heaven. There's a heaven, men and women, to gain. May God give you a vision of heaven. And there's something else, something I want you to be absolutely sure about before you rise from your seat at the end of the meeting, before you go through those doors to make your way home. I want you to be sure of this, that you're going to heaven, that you're absolutely certain of that fact. There's some truths just about heaven I want to set before you. Think first of all, men and women, of its reality. Can I emphasize, can I stress to you, heaven is a real place. It's an actual place, an actual location. This is not something that's make-believe. It's not something that's made up. It's not just something that's the figment of our imagination. What we're talking about tonight is a fact. You often hear, maybe often told, especially to the children, the fairy tales. In some of those fairy tales, there's a place called Never Never Land. In other words, it's somewhere that's wonderful, somewhere that's beautiful, but it doesn't exist. There is no such place. Well, men and women, heaven is not like that. Heaven's not an ever never land. Heaven is something that's very, very real. Heaven is something that actually does exist. You ask me tonight, could such a place that's so wonderful, such a place that's so beautiful, could such a place that's so happy and so holy, could such a place be really true? And the answer, men and women, is yes, it is. You remember what the Savior said? Listen again to the words. I go to prepare a place. I want you to always remember those words. May God burn them into your heart tonight. When you think about heaven, always remember what the Savior said. It's an actual place. I go to prepare a place. It's not a state. It's not a condition. What he's actually doing is preparing a place. And remember, that's what the Lord Jesus is doing just now, at this very moment. You wonder, you maybe ponder, you consider and meditate, what is the Lord Jesus doing when he's up there in heaven? He's preparing a place for his people, for those who trust him for salvation. Can I emphasize to you tonight, men and women, that heaven is a place that is more real than what you can see now. You look around you at this world, at this earth, and remember that heaven is more real than the things that you can see now with your naked eye. Is not what the scriptures tell us? The things that are seen are temporal. Isn't it good to have that emphasized and underlined when we're so taken up with this world? Many definitions of worldliness that are given in church circles. Worldliness, men and women, when you scrape it all down and peel it all back, worldliness is when you're too taken up with the things of this world. And how true that is. We need to remember, men and women, the things that are seen. The things that you view, that you look at, that you behold every day with the eyes that God has given you. They're temporal. What that means is they're not going to be here forever. They're going to pass away. Do you remember the words that are often quoted? At this harvest time, while the earth remaineth, there'll be seed time and harvest. We think so much about the seed time and harvest, but we forget those words at the beginning. While the earth remaineth. This earth isn't going to be here forever. This world, men and women, isn't going to last forever. The things that are seen are temporal. But the things that are unseen, the world that we can't see tonight, that eternal world, that other world, those are the things that are eternal. That means they're going to last forever and forever. So I tell you again, the place that we're speaking about tonight, heaven, it is more real than the things that you can see now. The reality of it. Now I know there are those who will say, nobody ever came back from heaven to tell us about it. Nobody ever came back from heaven to emphasize or to witness to the fact that it really is real. If someone did come back from heaven, then I would believe them. Doesn't that open up the whole question of communicating with the dead? Is communicating with the dead possible? Communication between this world and the next world, is that something that's possible, men and women? Can it take place? Is it something that's scriptural? You ask tonight, can you actually communicate with those who have died? The answer, men and women, is no. And I know there are those who say that they have. They've gone to spiritualist meetings, seances, and the like. I have to tell you, anybody that thinks they've communicated with that other world, with those that have died, they're only deceived. Doesn't the Bible talk about the devil that deceived them? And that's what happens in those meetings. They're deceived.
by the devil himself. If you read, if you study Luke chapter 16, doesn't it tell us that Lazarus was not allowed to return? He wasn't allowed to come back to this world after he had died and gone to heaven. There was no communication between that world and this world that was permitted. Lazarus wasn't allowed to come back and to speak to them. You say to me tonight, what about Saul in the Old Testament? Saul that went to the witch, the only witch you read of in the scriptures, the witch at Endor. And the Bible tells us that Samuel come up and spoke with him and gave him a message about his future, especially about the battle that was going to be fought the very next day in Mount Gilboa. Can I say to you tonight, men and women, that what happened there at Endor, that's an exception to the rule. In certain instances in the Bible, there are exceptions to the rule. Doesn't the Bible say it's appointed on the men once to die, and after this, the judgment? But you will know from your reading and study of the scriptures, there were certain men who didn't die. Enoch and Elijah. There are exceptions to the rule. And what happened in Endor was an exception to the rule. And when there is an exception, it's for a very good reason. It's for a very good purpose. The Lord wants to teach us a vital lesson through those things. And there's a vital lesson that we learn, men and women, from what happened with Saul and Samuel that night. And it's this. Whenever Saul called Samuel back up, and when the Lord allowed it to happen, Saul didn't learn anything from the lips of Samuel that he hadn't already known from the word of God. Samuel wasn't able to tell him anything more, give him any more information about what was going to happen to him and happen to Israel than God had already told him. And so it is, men and women. It wouldn't matter who would come back from that other world. They couldn't tell you anything more about eternity. They couldn't tell you anything more about heaven or anything more about hell than God has already told you in his word. All you'll ever need to know, men and women, about what lies beyond the grave, it's found recorded in this book. Remember that the Bible is the only communication from that other world that you will ever receive. I want to emphasize that to you. This book is precious, men and women. This is the most important book in all the world. The primary reason why it's the most important book in all the world is because it's the book that reveals God to you, reveals God's love for this sinful world, and it reveals God's plan of salvation to save sinners from a lost eternity. There's not another book in the world that tells you the way to heaven. This book is the only communication. Remember that. It's the only communication from eternity, from that other world, that you will ever receive. And God says this, men and women, if you won't believe Moses and the prophets, is not what the Lord said to the rich man in hell, whenever he called for Lazarus to be sent back to speak to his brethren, if you don't believe Moses and the prophets, in other words, if you don't believe the Bible, if you don't believe the scriptures, you don't believe the things that God has said, then what makes you think that you'll believe someone that comes back from the dead? You won't believe, men and women. If you don't believe God, you'll not believe, even if though one rose from the dead. Remember, this book is a revelation. That's one of the terms we use in describing the Bible. It's a revelation. This is a book that reveals. It reveals to us truths that we do not know, truths that otherwise we would be ignorant of. It reveals God himself. First and foremost, it's a revelation of God. But this book, men and women, is also a revelation of eternity. We wouldn't know anything about eternity only for the Bible. One of the things that God does in his word is he draws back the veil. He pulls back the curtain, and he lets us get a little glimpse of eternity. He lets us, from our standpoint here in this world, look out into the next. And he lets us see, men and women, that heaven is real. You really can go there. Going to heaven is a reality. You read of many in the scriptures who did go to heaven. Think of the dying thief. Today shall thou be with me in paradise. The very moment that he died, it was absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Going to heaven, men and women, is a reality. And the question for you tonight is, are you going there? When you die, will it be a reality for you? The reality of heaven. Something else about it I want you to consider, its locality. Where is heaven? Where does God actually dwell? If this is a real place, then you will say to me, tell me where it is. Well, can I remind you, men and women, that there's more than one heaven? Do you remember what Solomon said? He talked about the heaven of heavens. You see, it's there in the plural. The place where God dwells is the heaven of heavens. There's more than one heaven. In actual fact, there are three heavens altogether. Do you remember what Paul said, writing to the Corinthians in his second letter, speaking about himself, such an one that was caught up into the third heaven? What an experience that was, men and women, for the apostle. He was actually caught up into the third heaven. You ask me tonight, what does that mean? How can that be explained when we talk about three heavens or the third heaven? Well, let me put it to you like this. The first heaven, that's where the birds fly. What we could call the atmospheric heaven. The second heaven is beyond that. That's where the stars are. The astrological heaven, if you like. And the third heaven, beyond that again, well, that's where God is. That's where God dwells. We could call that the angelic heaven. There are three heavens, men and women. Whenever the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, it doesn't mean that God's dwelling place will pass away. Keep that in mind when you ponder passages such as this or such as that. There's more than one heaven. Where does God dwell tonight? Where is God's heaven? It's away up there, men and women. Away beyond the stars. Didn't the Savior ascend up? Is that what happened? After his resurrection, when he was here on earth for a little while, the Bible says that he went up. The scriptures in the book of Acts, the first chapter, he was taken up from them into heaven. It's way up there, beyond the stars. Think of Elijah, one of those men who didn't die. The Bible says he went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Always remember it was in the whirlwind. Sometimes there's a mistake made about Elijah. It wasn't in the chariot of fire and the horses. He went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Think of a future time. The Bible speaks about the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. You think of Stephen, that choice servant of the Lord. The Bible says that he looked up steadfastly. And what happened as he was looking up? He saw heaven opened. It's not another proof of the reality of it. Stephen actually saw it. Many saints of God, they see into that other world when they're nearing the end of the journey. Maybe you have known someone to have had that experience. As they were slipping from this world, they made expressions that let you see that they saw that other world. They could see into heaven. Stephen saw heaven open. He could see right into the very glory land itself. Where's heaven, men and women? It's way up there, away beyond the starry skies. If you contrast with that the question, where is hell? And you do well to ask that tonight, especially if you're out of Christ. Can I tell you where hell will be for you, my friend, if you go on in your sins? Hell will be at the end of a Christless life. You're on a road, the Bible calls it the broad road. And the Bible says the Lord Jesus himself, when he was preaching that great sermon on the mount, he said the broad road leads to destruction. You keep on that road. Keep following it. Keep going with the crowd. You'll end up in hell. It'll take you to a lost eternity. But where is hell, men and women? Where is hell's location? We thought of heaven and up there, way beyond the stars. The Bible says that hell is down. Do you remember Nathan, Dathan and Abiram, those that brought about a rebellion against Moses in the camp of Israel? The Bible says they went down live into the pit. And remember the word there that's used for pit, it's Sheol, it's the abode of the departed. It's not just a wee hole in the ground that's been spoken of. They went straight down to hell. That's what happened to those men and their families. Straight down to hell. Don't the name of the prophet speak about, though we dig down to hell, heaven is up and hell is down. The fact, men and women, is this: when you die, you'll either go up or go down. And I want to ask you, which will it be? Sometimes when you get onto a lift in a high-rise building, you're asked the question, are you going up or going down? I want to ask you that question tonight. Which is it for you? Going up? Up to heaven? Or are you going down? Down to hell? To a lost eternity? I can say, in the words of that old hymn, I'm going higher someday. And I trust, my friend, that you can say the same. Every one of you here in the gathering. The reality of heaven, the locality of it. Just one other thing I'll mention tonight. That is the eternality of heaven. Heaven, men and women, is eternal. It's a state that lasts forever. The bliss, the glory, the wonder of that place, it's something that will never end. Do you remember what Peter said? He spoke about an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Isn't there some talk at times about inheritances among families? Well, here, if you're in the family of God, there's an inheritance for you. Your elder brother, he's remembered you in the will. Do you remember what the old covenanter said, making his way to the communion feast, and the soldiers were out looking for the Christians, and he was stopped by the soldiers, and his life was in danger, and he said that his elder brother had died, and he was going to the reading of his will. Wasn't that a lovely way to put it? Going to the Lord's table. Our elder brother has died, men and women, and I want to tell you something. He's remembered you in his will. There's an inheritance for you. It's incorruptible. Anything that you're left on this earth, it'll rust and it'll rot and it'll pass away. Incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. You think of all the things you've been given in this world that have faded. Things that were given to you maybe by your family 20, 30 years ago. They're not as good, they're not as fresh, they're not as new as once they were. They've faded away. Everything in this world fades. But men and women, the inheritance that God has for you in heaven, it'll never fade. It's eternal. Didn't Paul talk about our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory? Get your eyes on that eternal world. You contrast there the light affliction. We think it's heavy. The Lord says our affliction is light. And he says it works for us. We think it's against us, working against us. It works for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight. You think of the weight of glory. And it's something that's going to last forever, men and women. Heaven is an eternal state. The book of Hebrews, we have no continuing city. We've no abiding place. No abiding city. But he's teaching that in heaven we do. Heaven is a place that you're going to continue in. Heaven is a place that you're going to abide in forever. Think of the words of the psalmist. Psalm 23, we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is there any house here? And many times have you moved house during your lifetime? There's no house that you could say on this earth you're going to dwell in forever. On to eternity. For all eternity. You know, that's what it's going to be like in heaven, men and women. We're going to be in His house forever. We'll never leave. We'll never have to depart from it. You think of the fairy tales again. Isn't it true that all good fairy tales end? They all lived happily ever after. In other words, there's no more trouble, no more pain, no more problems, no more opposition. They all lived happily ever after. Can I tell you something? That ending is borrowed from the Bible. There's only one place, men and women, that you live happily ever after. There's only one place that you'll have bliss forevermore, unending, forever and ever. And that place is heaven. Don't we say all good things come to an end? So it is here, so it is in this world. But what a contrast heaven is, because there are the good things, the happy things, the blessed things. They never end. They go on for all of God's great eternity. I want you to stop for a moment and consider, one day you're going to die. Today we were at a funeral, I know of others that were taking place. One day you're going to die and your funeral will take place. One day for you the struggles of this life will end. And the question, men and women, is this. Will you live happily ever after? Are you going to go to heaven for all eternity? I pray earnestly tonight that that will be so. I know that many in the meeting tonight are familiar with the McAllisters, the missionaries to the Congo. Bob still lives here in the city of Armagh. His wife Alma passed away 4 or 5 years ago. I remember Alma giving her testimony as a young girl, perhaps in her teens. Her own mother died. She was a saint of God, a Christian. She had a great concern for her family. She gathered the children of the home around her deathbed, and she made this earnest plea, earnest request of all her children, I'd like to see you in heaven. And that touched Alma McAllister's heart as a young woman that spoke to her, one of the things that brought her to the Saviour. And men and women, we want to say that to you tonight as a church. To every person here in the meeting without Christ, every unsaved person, our desire, our earnest heartfelt desire for you is, we'd like to see you in heaven. We're not here to promote a denomination. We're not here to entertain. We're not bringing you here night by night to amuse or to help you to put in the autumn evenings. We're here for this sole purpose, men and women, because we want to see you in heaven with us for all eternity. We want to see you up there beyond the blue. We want you to live happily ever after in the land that is fairer than day. You think of that great verse, the greatest verse perhaps in all the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, will you believe in him tonight? Will you trust him? Put your faith in him for eternity. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what the Lord wants to do for you. That's what his salvation, men and women, is all about. So that you would not perish. Do you remember what I said at the beginning? You don't have to perish. You don't have to be lost for all eternity. The Lord wants to give you everlasting life tonight. And it can be yours if you'll come and receive Christ as your Saviour. Heaven, it's reality, locality, and it's eternality. I'll finish just with this story. There was a sailor from England many years ago, and he was on a ship that came into New York City. They had little time to themselves. They went into the city. And one of the things that this sailor did was attend a gospel meeting and a little gospel mission there in the city of New York. He wasn't really that interested in what took place. He wasn't really much interested in the preacher and the message that he brought. In fact, he was quite indifferent to all that took place. But whenever he was leaving the meeting, one of the men at the door pushed a little card into his hand. And in that little card were simply these words: "If I died tonight, I would go to..." And then there was a blank. You had to fill in the blank. Either heaven or hell. And then sign your name. He took the card. When he went back to the ship, he just put it at the side of his bunk. Didn't think much about it. But a few days later, when they set sail, when they were out on the ocean, there was an accident. He fell from the rigging. He broke his leg. He was confined to his quarters for a number of weeks. And every day, as he lay in the bunk, he could see the little card: "If I died tonight, I would go to..." and the blank. He thought about it carefully. Remember what I said to you the other day? God sometimes calls us aside, brings us through periods of sickness, to give us time to think about our soul and eternity. And that's what the Lord did with that man. He thought about that question hard and long. He thought about it deeply. And one day he said, "You know, if I was to fill that card in honestly, I'd have to write in the word hell in that blank. If I died today, I would go to hell." But he said, "I don't want to fill the card in like that. I don't want to be lost." So just sitting there on his bunk bed, that bed of sickness, he prayed to God for mercy and for salvation. And he became a Christian. And he took the card and he filled it in: "If I died today, I would go to heaven." And he signed his name. The ship went back to England. He stayed on it and it sailed all the way back to New York again. And he went back to the mission and he handed in the card, much to the delight and encouragement of God's people there. Will you think of that tonight, men and women, at the end of the meeting? We have considered God's heaven, the wonderful, glorious place that the Saviour is preparing for them that know and love Him as their Saviour. But can I ask you, if you died today, if you died tonight, where would you go? The condition you're in, the state of heart that you're in tonight, where would you go? Will you ponder that carefully? If I died tonight, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? It's our prayer, my friend, you'll not leave the place unprepared. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And we want you to make that preparation in the gospel service this very evening. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." May the Lord be pleased to speak through His word to all our hearts tonight.